Welcome back, guys. Thanks for tuning in to the Talk 20s podcast, the podcast that helps you navigate your 20s with a lot of truth and laughter. Our special guest in the studio today is the one and only Chezza Blonde. You might know Chezza for her hilarious TikToks, keeping it truly real as always. And this podcast episode is no different, as Chezza talks openly about her transition, dating life, and more. Before we dive in, please don't forget to hit that subscribe or follow button. The more of you that do, the bigger the guests we can bring onto the podcast. Now let's get on with the show. In order to keep bringing you guys tons of free content, we work with brand partners who you'll hear from in this episode, including an advertisement from Zopa Bank. Chezza.
Hello, Gabby.
It's amazing to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I love the new set.
We love the new set. We've made some little tweaks, guys. If you're an OG watcher of the podcast, you'll know the set looks different. It's beautiful.
Stunning.
Got a new table, finally. I've wanted a new table for ages.
I love tables that go in on each other like that.
Yeah, it's so cute.
Every time I say something like that, it sounds wrong. But I do love a good table.
I know, like, and it's like they've got the different heights and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're listening on Spotify and you're not watching, then you need to move to YouTube and watch us, because then you can see what our set looks like rather than just imagine it.
And you can
it.
See our beautiful faces
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
Which is the main thing.
The main attraction.
Who wouldn't want to look at you every day, Gabby?
Oh, thanks, Chezza. I'm blushing. Oh my God. Right,
I'm not wrong.
Well, can we just acknowledge your outfit today? Because I think you're the best dressed guest we've ever had.
Well, I had to come and bring it. You know, I just had my hair done. I want to look cute for you guys.
Yeah.
I've loved your podcast for such a long time now. And I thought, if I'm coming on the Talk 20s podcast, I'm going to look
And you
banging.
Do. This jacket is gorgeous.
Thank
and the
you.
Cowboy boots are beautiful.
Well, I'm promoting
Absolutely
Beyonce's
stunning.
New album, so that's
love,
why I'm wearing.
Oh, love it.
The
love
same
it. I actually want to rub those boots. They're insane.
They are really comfy.
Yeah.
Really
Where
comfy.
PLT.
PLT. I think
Everyone
this pretty much
that.
Mostly everything I'm wearing is PLT.
Oh my God, pick their PLT.
They are, I love them though. They're
love.
Great.
Love. Right. Well, we always kickstart the podcast by asking you to share a photo from 365 days ago mm-hmm. that nobody's ever seen before. Now, if I know you, Chezza, you've got some great pictures on that phone.
I've got some scandalous pictures. If I ever shared my camera roll, I feel like...
Well, you have shared your camera roll with people you shouldn't have shared your camera roll with before.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that in a bit. But now half of TikTok have all seen my designer vagina at this point.
Have they?
All asked, well, I mean, every event I go to, most of them always... Well, I mean, they'll ask or I'll offer, depending on how many drinks I've had. They'll say, can we see your designer vagina? I'm like, woo! And hopefully, most of the time,
I
like, she's
that.
Clean shaven, but...
Oh, you show them there live
there
or
and
a picture?
Yeah.
Oh, there and then,
she
in person.
She looks photoshopped.
Oh, wow.
She is stunning. I'm really proud of her.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, you know, so why not?
Well, show us your photo from this, time last year. What are you going for?
This time a year ago, I was living in London and I feel like I've changed... Just to preempt this photo, I feel like I've changed so much since, I can't even get it up, since this time. It's not a video, it's not a photo, it's a video.
Okay.
So this is me walking down
Cute.
The tube, really tipsy after doing...
After doing what?
After doing a podcast. After doing Callie Slazer's dating show where I got picked last, so I decided to get drunk and I was upset. But as you can see, I'm still wearing cowboy boots. No one's seen
wearing
that apart
boots.
From... And I just thought I'd do a little photo shoot on
show the camera. You're doing a little photo shoot on the
Oh, that's quite tube. Good. If you start from the beginning, that's quite good actually.
Are we, are we pressing play?
Yeah.
Play. Oh, stunning.
You can
Gorgeous.
Tell I was a little bit tipsy, but do you know what? It really
Share
shows
these
how
with
much I've
so
changed.
She can show, with that, show everyone on the,
yes,
on,
I will.
On the edits.
It really, for me, it really shows how much I've changed because mm-hmm. this time last year, I was definitely a little bit reckless, definitely going out a bit too much. I've moved back home to Brighton, mm-hmm. really trying to settle myself down a little bit. So it's kind of nice to see that I've grown up a little bit more. You know, mm-hmm. I'm nearly 23 now. I was 21 then. Like, I feel like a bit more of a grown woman now. I've got my ducks in a row, as opposed to back then, I was kind of all over the place, really.
And did you go out because, like, I feel like a lot of people, because you're how old now? 23?
23 next week.
23 next week, okay.
Pisces.
So like, if you're 22, 23, you're like, when you turned 18, was that middle of the pandemic? Or like around about that time? Like, were you, did you go out before the pandemic? I shouldn't really ask you
yeah.
that. Like,
well, no, yeah,
underage.
I did. I was 19 when the pandemic happened. I just turned 19. So I had like a year of going out. I never really did the fake ID thing. I think I went out like a couple of times with the fake ID, but
yeah.
then I was quite shy as like a kind of late teen. I was really
shy.
So shy.
Really?
Completely different person, was so unconfident, never really knew what to wear, never was like, it was never like a young, I don't know, I just never had the confidence really. But then I turned 18 and everything changed. Mm-hmm. I started to go out, have fun. And then obviously lockdown came in 2020, I was 19. So I spent, you know, 19 and 20 all in lockdown.
Yeah.
So that was very weird for me. And then as soon as I started, and then obviously lockdown stopped after the last lockdown, it all stopped. But I was already on social media at that point, mm-hmm. and I already had grown quite significantly. Mm-hmm. So I never really had those years of going out being a bit crazy and kind of not worrying about it. But yeah. now, if I'm going out and being a bit woohoo over the top or whatever, I do social media. And if people see me do that, it's a bit like, oh God.
Do you worry that people will see you?
Now I do, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's more the case of people won't want to work with me if I'm going to come across as someone like that. That's why I've calmed down so much. Because, you know, I was 22 and going out a lot and living it up and doing my thing. You know, just moved to London, just had my surgery.
Yeah.
Obviously just gained a good amount of followers on TikTok. Yeah. So I kind of went a bit crazy almost. It was a bit much to kind of process. Mm-hmm. So I did go out quite a lot and have my fun. And I wasn't too bad.
I feel like we've all got to do it. It's like a bit of like a rite of passage. But the reason I asked that question is because I feel like a lot of 20-somethings didn't get that rite of passage because they like went to uni or they started going out into the pandemic. And I think that's obviously...
So I missed out such a chunk of time, like a real chunk of kind of being a bit whatever, reckless and having fun. But I feel like, I mean, I still go out occasionally, but I'm definitely a lot more calmer now.
Sensible, Chazza.
Yeah, I'm a sensible girl. Last year was my hot girl summer year, though. I had my fun last year. It was great.
But, yeah. Love it. Where does the name Chazza Blonde come from?
The name Chazza Blonde comes from, I still have this friend. I have my next door neighbour. Her name is Charlie. Shout out to Charlie. I love her. Love you. So her name's Charlie and her nickname was Chazza. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, I don't know if you remember, do you remember Stardoll?
No.
Do you remember Stardoll?
Georgia
Stardoll
does.
Stardoll was so good. It was basically like the girly pop version of Club Penguin, right? In my mind.
Oh.
So much fun. You could just dress up.
I do remember Club Penguin.
I never had Club Penguin, but I had Stardoll for years. And my name on there was, I used to love the name Cherry for some reason. I don't know why. So I kind of took the name, I was like 10 at the time because I never really liked my name. This is before I had come out as trans, so I was still technically living as a boy even though I had long hair and I wore makeup and wore girls clothes. I just loved the name Cherry, so it was like my alter ego. And then I took Chazza from, well, Charlie's nickname was Chazza, and I took Chazza and Cherry and created Chazza. And I was blonde, so Chazza Blonde. It's not the best story, but it's a little story. Like wholesome where I kind of came from in a way. And then it just stuck with me. Like, it was my name on Snapchat or something like that. So I think that's, and then like the boys in school used to call me Chazza, which I absolutely loved because the boys didn't really pay me any attention, but they would if they called me Chazza. They'd be like, oh, Chazza, you all right, babe? And I'd be like, oh my God, yeah. Like, I used to love it. I used to lap that shit up so much. So, and I just kept the name Chazza Blonde.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I think it's a cool name.
Thanks.
Even if there's, no, I love the story behind it as well. I think we've all got those names that we used to like call ourselves like back in the day and stuff like that. And sometimes they stick and it's great. Love it.
It's such a random name though, because it has no association with my name, Reese. Like, I do go by Reese my everyday, and a lot of my, I have some friends who call me Chazza, but most of my friends will call me Reese. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's interesting that it's,
what do you
so
prefer
different.
Being called?
I don't mind. You can either call me Chazza, you can call me Reese. Yeah, I don't mind.
What were you like growing up then? Because you said that you were sensible, but like, and a little bit quieter. Did you mean
as
that?
As opposed to going out, I was shy around boys, definitely shy around boys. So when I was really young, so in primary school, I was very quiet and very on my own. I didn't really have any friends. I was the weird kid. Like, I had a couple of friends, but I never like used to go and hang out with people, or like my weekends would be me in most of the time. And I was very quite lonely, not to be too deep, but I was, I think because I was technically back then a boy dressing as a girl, and no one, even in Brighton, no one had ever really seen anything like that. And even though I went to quite a woke primary school, it was still quite different for me, and it was definitely difficult. So I didn't really have any friends in primary school. And then in secondary school, primary school was huge. So in secondary school, literally half of my primary school
went to this secondary school. Yeah.
So I was known by half of the year. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of...
Do you think that helped?
Yeah.
Like that they already knew you. So like you didn't have to kind of like, hi.
Exactly. It was a lot easier. But then obviously there was a lot of rumors about me as well, because I was the only trans person there. And then I came out as trans in like my first year, and it was like a huge thing.
Because
no one else was, exactly, in year seven. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was known by not just my year, by the year above and the year above that, and like most of the school. And I went to a big school. So that was really weird from being someone who no one knew to then instantly everyone knowing my name in about 4 months of being at this school. And that was a bit crazy. And that definitely got to me in a sense of being like, do you know what? Everyone's got this opinion about me. I don't give a fuck. I'm just going to be myself and confident. And I was like, secondary school was just me being completely unapologetically me. I wouldn't care. I would walk into school with the craziest makeup, big hoops. Like, I did not give a toss what people thought of me. I was so confident. And I love that about myself because I was so, I didn't really care. It definitely got me into trouble. I was definitely naughty at school. I got kicked out and secluded and excluded all the time. I was not well behaved at all. I wasn't too bad academically. I did fine. I was really naughty though in secondary school and chilled out a lot afterwards, but a terror.
Were you one of those people that the teacher walked up with like a makeup wipe and was like, take that off, please.
Yes, take your hoops every single day. The teacher would come up to me and my best friend in Vegas and say, give us your hoops. Every day we'd have to go and collect our hoops at the deputy head's office or whatever. I got kicked out 4 times for bad behaviour. I used to set up the fire alarms in school. I was so naughty. Like, if anything didn't go my way, I'd be like, that's it. The whole fucking school's going to know about it.
We're super proud that this podcast is brought to you in partnership with our headline sponsors, Zopa Bank, who are one of the UK's leading digital banks. If you've not heard about Zopa before, they're all about fair, simple, and easy to use financial products. My personal favorite is their Zopa Smart Saver, where you can create personalized pots for your different savings goals. To check them out for yourself, head to your app store and search Zopa, that's Z-O-P-A, and start saving from £1. The interest is payable monthly and is subject to variation. Back to the show. At what age then did you know you were trans? Was it like the whole time growing up, or was there like a specific moment that you go, yeah?
Yeah, there definitely was a specific moment. So in my primary school, there was this LGBT support group who came in, and there's about 5 of them, and one of them was a trans girl or trans woman, and she came in and kind of explained her story. And because I always knew I was different, I still was dressing feminine, like all like unisex back then, or whatever we called it. I always knew I was different 100%, but I never really admitted to myself that I wanted to be a girl or like change into a girl. But then these people came in and this woman spoke about her experience. And then I remember coming home that night, speaking to my parents. And I said to my mum, I think I want to be a girl. I think I'm trans. And she just looked at me and was like, yeah, I'm aware. I know that. That's fine. But my parents were great about everything. They were really cool. So, but that's when I knew, when I was about 10 or 11.
And do you think that's made a huge difference? Because obviously, like, to be in such an accepting, like, loving family, like, surely that's helped you so much.
Definitely.
Across the years.
Like, 100%, yeah.
I'm sure it's difficult for those who don't have that support.
It's difficult anyway, transitioning at a young age or any age.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful and very aware of the privilege I have that I've got, you know, accepting parents, and I was brought up in a place where it is moderately accepting, it's okay to be who you are and it's okay. I grew up in the gay capital city. Like, I had everything. I mean, obviously it wasn't easy being growing up a trans person, but as growing up as a trans person goes, it was a lot easier compared to so many other people that I know who had a really difficult time with it. So I'm very aware of how lucky I am, definitely.
And what's been your experience then from since 11 to now at 23? Like, what's been...
Oh my God, where do we start? With what? Relationships? Life?
Well,
like,
the whole process. Because obviously once you've realised, you know, I'm trans, you had that conversation, you then went to the NHS.
Yep. So it was a long, long process, like it is for everyone that goes through it. I mean, especially now that if you go for the NHS. So I think we started off going to the GP, who then recommended me to CAMHS, who then recommended me to the Tavistock Centre, which is where I first went to the Tavistock when I was 12. Mm-hmm. No, that's a lie. I was like 10, sorry. I went to the Tavistock for the first time when I was about 10 or 11, as soon as I came out pretty much. And then I got on testosterone blockers when I was 13, just 10, 13, I got on the testosterone blockers.
Well, that's so important, isn't it?
So important. I mean, I'm so lucky that I was able to get on them, because now it's illegal to take them before the age of 16, I believe.
Crazy though, because that's 6 years is a long time from you obviously realizing 10, you're like, this is me. Mm-hmm. Like, and to have, if you'd have had to wait to 16, like that.
Well, I would have gone through male puberty.
Yeah.
And it's so much more difficult to transition if after you've gone through puberty, because you have to go back and change things and maybe have surgery and do all these things. And that's so difficult. Mm-hmm. So I'm so, so lucky that I never grew facial hair. I never grew an Adam's apple. My voice never dropped. So those things, which for trans men and women, it's so important to stop that happening. And the thing about blockers is they're completely reversible as well. Mm-hmm. So if you stop going on blockers, you will eventually go back into puberty, and they're very harmless as well. They just literally slow down they just stop your testosterone from coming through. Mm-hmm. And it's just wild to me that it's not okay anymore. There was a whole huge thing about it. There was a massive lawsuit. And obviously as a gender identity clinic, they're not well funded at all anyway.
No.
So to kind of bring them down in that sense, it isn't, I think it's just inner transphobia and people just being so uncomfortable with it. Mm-hmm. It's all really sad and it's all really awful. And I know so many people who I'm personal friends with and who I know and family friends, and so many people who are trans who, you know, it would have been made their lives so much easier if they went through that before they went through puberty. But unfortunately now it's not the case. So mm-hmm. I'm again, so lucky that I was able to do that mm-hmm. before I went through puberty.
No, absolutely. And I think it's really difficult, you know, knowing that the lives can be changed by something like this, but it is such a conversation in like government and politics, and people just think that, you know, they can make decisions that, you know, without kind of consulting, you know, people have been through it.
It's these people making decisions who have probably never even known a trans person in their life and never lived any sort of life that isn't just privilege mm-hmm. and just everything going their way for them. You know, these are real people's lives, and you know, gender dysmorphia is a real thing. It's a, you know, it's very intense and it's a very hard life to live, and to even choose to transition because you have gender dysmorphia is a real big step. And I think that these people just have no idea what they have. They haven't even got the idea of how difficult that can be. So, mm-hmm. you know.
But you have gone all the way to get surgery and everything.
Yes, I have.
Exciting.
Very exciting, yeah.
What was that process like? Because I can imagine that's not been a breeze.
No, it definitely was not a breeze. I mean, I remember getting the call actually because I was referred to get my surgery when I was 18, mm-hmm. just as you would, if you wanted the surgery, that's how you would go through it. Mm-hmm. I think I got maybe referred at even 16 for adult services. But anyway, so I remember getting a call one day and I was 21. Mm-hmm. And I remember them calling me and I just came, no, it was, no, I was 21 and I just came back from doing training in hairdressing in London.
Hair's looking gorgeous,
by
the way.
Thank you. So I was, sorry, I'm going a bit off, what was I doing? So yeah, it was so random. So my life literally completely changed from this phone call. So I was training to be a hairdresser. That was going to be my life. My followers on TikTok were fine, but I was nowhere near enough to quit and start doing social media full time. So I get this call from the hospital and say, hi, Reese, we're ready for you to come in for your consultation for your surgery. Hopefully we'll be able to do it in about 2 months.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my, because I've been waiting for so long and I just was not expecting that call. I hadn't called up and reminded them because I've been on the waiting list for so long. I just haven't even thought about it. I was like, don't even know. So they get that call and I'm like, oh my God, my life is about to completely change. Mm-hmm. So I had the surgery, 2.5 hours long, so much quicker than I thought it would be.
2.5 hours.
That
is crazy.
2.5 hours to have a gender reassignment. I thought it was like 9 hours.
Yeah,
like,
I would think it'd be way longer.
So quick. Like,
surely
that.
If it's that quick, then it must be like relatively straightforward. Like,
I think it is actually relatively straightforward. It's not, I mean, it's a complicated surgery, definitely.
This is me generalizing. I've watched too many Grey's Anatomy and I think I can do it now. I'm like,
no, trust me, same. I'm like, right,
bringing my Jackson Avery into the room.
No, I think it's not complicated, but I think if a surgery takes, I don't know, I'm not a surgeon and I really don't wish to be one.
Did you understand the process of what they were doing doing it? Like, did you
I understood more afterwards.
Okay.
So anyway, I wake up from the surgery full of pain meds. I'm like in shock. I'm like, what have I done? Because it's not really the pain, you just feel so different and you know your body's been like, the only word I can say, it's such a terrible word, but like finagled, and you feel like wrong almost. Mm. And it feels so weird to say that because I don't want to like come across as thinking that I regret it, because I don't regret it at all.
Yeah.
But at the very beginning, I was like, oh my God, what is this? What have I done? Oh my God.
Yeah. It's a big change. It's massive.
It's a huge change. Yeah. And I wasn't allowed any So I had 7 days in the hospital where I was dealing with everything. So I was I had like catheters in, I had things inside of me. I had so much stuff going on. I was like pumped full of morphine every 2 hours. I was given diazepam. I was giving so many, I was giving so much pain medication because it was just so, it was really painful. And I wasn't getting any visitors. And it was a really intense six or seven mm-hmm. days, like very, very intense. I came home and I was fine. Still on, I think, codeine or something, but it was a really difficult 7 days definitely to recover without having any mm-hmm. family or friends there. You know, I was just there on
my
own.
Why were they not allowed in?
It was 2020.
Oh, that time during COVID. Yeah. When it was
so it was
like,
just like the last kind of inch before
so we were still wearing masks on your own as well.
Like, yeah, it was difficult.
That's a 21. Like yeah. mentally, what happens in that week? Like, or do you not remember a lot of it?
I remember just feeling, I felt very proud of myself and I felt very accomplished and I felt very, like after the first day, I just felt ready to get better and mm-hmm. recover. And all you want to do is get better quickly and like mm-hmm. heal quickly. That's all I was thinking about. And it was so uncomfortable. It was less painful that it was just uncomfortable. And it just was not a great, it just wasn't the best really. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. I just remember watching Toy Story and just watching Disney Plus. And thank God for Disney Plus thank throughout my Disney surgery. Because I was just like reliving my childhood, just watching every single thing yeah. on there. It was intense. It was a really difficult time for me. And I was so lucky that I've got amazing friends and amazing family who I was calling up and they came around to visit me afterwards when I was back home. And mm-hmm. that was amazing. And I don't think I'd been able to do that without them, especially, mm-hmm. you know, I was living at home. Well, I'm still living at home, but I was living at home at the time. And I came back home to my family home and my parents were there. My sister was there and they all really looked after me and like brought me food and just made sure I was okay. And I feel like if you don't have, I can't imagine how difficult it would be without supportive family or mm-hmm. friends around you. Like doing yeah. that on your own. I did it for 7 days. To do it for any longer than that, I don't know mm-hmm. how I would have done because, mm-hmm. and I was still calling them every single hour as well. So yeah. I can't imagine how difficult that must be.
And how soon after that, like, did you, I mean, start to feel like a sense of normality or kind of a sense of like, this is me? Like, when did it all settle down?
About a month and a half, I'd say. Yeah. I started going out after 2 weeks, I'm pretty sure.
What the heck?
I was
Are
so
you crazy?
Unhinged. Yes, I told you.
I guess you just were like, woo.
Well, I was like, I have a vagina now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out and
How quickly did you use it, Chazza, in that way?
Like, 8 months? Oh, oh. God. It was not instant. I think it was more the idea of having it. I was excited.
Yeah,
it wasn't like I want to go and have sex right now. Like that would have been a bad mistake. I do have a friend though, who did have a surgery a little bit later than me, and she went out and had sex like 4 weeks afterward, and I was like, are you fucking
surely
insane?
Surely that would hurt. Like,
she said it was fine.
What's advised? Like, how soon can you, like,
oh, they
have
normally
sex?
Say, like, 6 months, I'm pretty sure. Okay. Or I think they maybe say 3 months. I can't remember. I was on so many drugs at the time. And like, as in pain medication.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But how soon can you do, can you, like, piss normally? Like, all of that
oh my
kind
God,
of stuff?
No. Oh, no, that was terrible. So, this is so bad. So, after it was like 2 weeks. This relates back to why I sent the photo to the doctor. So basically, I was having a lot of trouble weeing. So I really needed to wee and I couldn't get anything out. Yeah. And I was like pushing and it was like horrible. And I was like bleeding loads. It was really unpleasant.
Yeah.
And that's why I was sending photos of my vagina to the doctor. And that's how I accidentally sent that photo to the wrong person. And
well, tell the full story now. They've got it. Well, if no one's seen this TikTok,
no
tell the full story,
Chazza. Even though I've spoken, even though it went completely viral and I've spoken on TV about this, but basically, if you're new, I was sending photos of my very fresh out of hospital open wound, sorry, TMI vagina to my, I thought was the deputy or the doctor or the nurse or someone, I can't remember her name. I think it was Debbie. Hi, Debbie. And I thought, I got her email and she goes, send me these photos. And I was like, okay. So I called her up and I was like, Debbie, I've sent you like three photos every day for the past 5 days. Like, you haven't replied at all. And she's going through her emails and she's like, no, nothing. I was like, so you haven't received any any email from me, and they've all had sent, and none of it went to, because you know if you send a rogue email, it's like a wrong email address,
it'll
send it back.
Yeah, yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
I was sending photos of my bare, brand new, raw pussy after 2 weeks of surgery to a random woman on the, I don't know who she is. God bless her though, if she received that, because she must have gone freaked the fuck out.
Whoa!
Because everyone was saying in my comment section, like, oh, they must be lucky. I was like, no, no one wants to see that. It wasn't like a cute little nude. Like, no, it wasn't anything like that. It was really unpleasant.
Hilarious though, and it did make you go viral.
It did
like,
make me go viral, and then my followers just jumped very quickly. And then I was able to quit doing my full-time job and be able to do social media.
So, I mean, you win some, you lose some.
Exactly, exactly. You really do win some, you lose some. Very true.
So let's talk dating then. How's your dating life been? Like,
I'm really, my dating life this year already has been something. I was seeing someone for, well, not, I was speaking to someone for a little bit. Mm-hmm. He was a bit older than me. I find it really, I get bored very quickly. I've said this a few times. And for me, I need someone who like matches my energy and gives off the same kind of vibe as me, because I think that, I don't know, I haven't really found anyone special. I mm-hmm. don't think I found anyone that's really for me, and I'm not going to get into a relationship with someone unless I'm like 100% in it. Because I could have a boyfriend if I wanted a boyfriend, because I've had guys who I've kind of been like, oh, maybe, like you could, but I don't feel anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much a believer in, if I see something with someone, I'm going to get it straight away and be like, okay, you're the person for me. Mm-hmm. So dating's not really, I mean, I'm open to getting to know someone. I'm not.
She's available, everyone. I'm available. What she's trying to tell you is she's available.
I'm single. I'm ready to mingle. But I am.
Check out your DMs after this podcast.
On Instagram. I don't really reply to my DMs though from boys. Rarely.
Has anyone famous ever slid into your DMs? Should I ask that question?
Maybe. Yeah, I've had a couple of people slide into my DMs. I mean, no one like amazing. No one like, if it was like, hang no on. One like Drake.
Whoa, go back. You told me about someone in the train station that we both said is attractive.
Oh, so.
I don't know if you're allowed to talk about that.
No, I've had a, okay, so I'm not going to say any names, but I've had a couple of Love Islanders mm-hmm. secretly DM me and definitely speak to me. But to be honest with you, I've had quite a few Love Islanders who I've spoken to, but I don't think they would ever admit to speaking about it publicly, which is such a shame. And I don't want to out anyone.
No, fairs.
Because like, it's such a stigma, even though it shouldn't be. A lot of people, I don't want to be that girl to be like, yeah, he's into trans women without him, you know, without, I don't know. It's a really complicated.
Do you
one.
Find that difficult then? Because I know you said on other podcasts that you find that like some guys fetishize you. Yeah. Is that the right, how you say it? Fetishize
well, yeah,
you?
Exactly. And that's the thing. And having a trans fetish for a lot of straight men is a very humiliating thing and embarrassing, which mm-hmm. that's a real thing to, that's another thing with dating for me. It's a bit of a head fuck. I don't know whether they like me or they just want to sleep with me and then chuck me. Mm. And that's why I'm quite careful. I mean, this time last year I was like having fun and doing my thing, but now I'm a little bit more aware of how men work.
Right,
and I
yeah.
understand them a little bit more now. So I'm very careful with, if I sleep with anyone, I'm doing it because I want to do it. I'm not doing it because I fancy someone, and because I've done it before, and we've all done it when we sleep with someone who thinks really like us and then they get rid of them the next day. And that's really shit when that happens. But for me, especially because I'm trans.
That's also the worst feeling in the world.
It's the
you
worst
just
feeling
feel like
in the world.
Shit.
But then
like,
because I'm trans as well, it's like, oh, so not only are you just chucking me, you're also embarrassed to be with me as well. So I'm very careful with, and I am careful with who I like say. I can say it in like private, mm-hmm. but publicly I am really careful with, because I have had guys who are in the public eye who have DM'd me and I've been with them, whatever, but I don't like to name drop them like that, because then that puts them in an uncomfortable situation. And then they could say I'm lying and be like, oh, there's another trans girl trying to use mm-hmm. someone else's name for clout, which I don't want to do.
No, Fez. She's you know? Big in her own right, everybody.
I am my own self. I don't need to carry off anyone's back.
So you've got some, we asked you about any funny stories when we chatted to you about the podcast. You said you've got a funny Joe Lycett story.
Oh my God, yeah. So when I did Joe Lycett's, I think it was 50 years of Pride anniversary thing, and I spoke about the pussy photo going viral. Joe somehow reached out to my ex-flatmate now, one of my best friends, Jack Riddle, who got into contact with him, and I was able to go and do this Pride thing. And basically it was like a live TV show thing with Joe. And he was honestly the nicest guy I've ever met in my life.
He strikes me as a really nice guy.
Oh, he's just so funny and so lovely and so welcoming. And anyway, so after the show ended, we were all kind of drinking throughout the show. And then he took us all to like, we went to like five different clubs that night, all of us all together. And Joe took us, I think we all went out to like the main thing afterwards where everyone was there, like the Heartstopper cast were there and like all these drag queens that I've kind of admired for years. This is when I first started kind of coming into TikTok as well. So I didn't really know anyone at the time. And Joe was there and we had a really nice chat at the bar and it was really fun. And then I saw him like 2 hours. So basically I saw him 2 hours later. At this point, I am fucking steaming. I am absolutely, I don't even really remember it, but I just remember being like, it was my first night out. It was in Birmingham. It was my first ever time in Birmingham.
I don't think they would let me in since.
It was a great, Birmingham is the best night out. It's a really gay clubs are just a strip of just clubs along the things. You just
Broad
go
Street.
In every single one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So much fun. So anyway, I was really, really drunk and I thought and I just had my surgery. I had it like 2-3 months ago, 3 months prior. And I thought, anyway, I'm going to go in the fucking urinal. So I pull my pants down. I'm like going like this in the urinal, like with my full fanny out, like men are walking in and then closing the door. And I piss on my, I like had to, and I weed on my thong. So I had to take my thong off. So I was going pantless the whole night in Birmingham. And then I had them in my, it's so disgusting. I'm so sorry. My management's going to kill me. I had my thong in my my hands and I just went up to Joe and I was like, God, I've got hair, like waving it around. Joe was in his own world at this point, but I remember just like chucking it into a bush somewhere and just leaving my thong.
Somewhere in Birmingham.
Somewhere in Birmingham, there's a strawberry cotton thong that's probably been like, it's probably decomposed now or something like that because it's like 2 years ago. But I loved that thong as well. It was gorgeous. It was like those little Primark packs one, which actually are so comfortable. And it was like a nice
Primark
little,
thongs. Primark you cannot, thongs are the best. Yeah, they're the best.
Let's take a quick pause for a second. If you're an OG listener of the podcast, you'll know I haven't always had the easiest ride with my mental health in my 20s. Our newest paid partner, BetterHelp, which gives you access to online therapists, is something that's helped me immensely. With BetterHelp, you can have your therapy sessions as a phone call, a video chat, or even via messaging if you prefer that. Whatever is the most comfortable version of therapy for you. To get started, you fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you'll get matched with a therapist, in most cases within 48 hours or less. You'll then be able to schedule therapy sessions at a time that's convenient for you. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/talk20s and that link will also get you 10% off your first month too.
Well, we always like to talk about our biggest adulting failures on the Talk 20s podcast. Chezza, have you got a big fail that has happened to you and you're like, shit, I should not have done that?
Oh my God, so many things. I've definitely made a few mistakes, but I feel like every mistake I don't know, because the thing is with mistakes, I'm kind of glad I've made them because now I can mature and learn.
Everyone always says
that. And say, I've done this and that was real. I've done really embarrassing things around people. I shouldn't have been probably a bit too comfortable with people and kind of said the wrong thing and been a bit inappropriate and just been a bit of a Brighton girl loudmouth and been a bit silly and a bit too whatever at certain times. And I definitely regret embarrassing myself and maybe making others uncomfortable. Nothing crazy. It sounds like I've done something really bad, but if I've ever embarrassed myself or done anything stupid, I wouldn't say I regret that, but I was definitely very embarrassed afterwards. But now I've learned not to do that and be a little bit more aware of my surroundings.
I think we all have a little moment where we like say too much and then we kind of learn very quickly, like, no.
Spoken before I thought many times. Yeah. So I feel like I'm learning not to do that as much now.
Yeah.
But I would say that's a bit of a regret. Also, all the men I've ever dated as well, I regret all of them. All of you. All of them. They're all, honestly, this Valentine's Day was fucking shocking. I swear to God, all the guys I'd like recently seen in the past year, all of them have girlfriends now. And I'm like, good luck to those girlfriends because they are dealing with some fucking special men. Let's just say that.
Would you go back to any of them?
No.
Never?
No.
Not even one? She's thinking about it.
No. I wouldn't. I don't go back. I have gone back in the past, but not after this amount of time. Not if they've had a girlfriend since me.
Yeah.
No,
fair enough. Well, the other thing we like to talk about on the podcast is the fact that like, no matter who sits on that sofa, no one is the finished product. Nobody here, no one who's ever been on the podcast is the perfect person. And I think a lot of people look up
what
to people.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, she's gorgeous. But we all have shit going on in our lives.
Oh my
we
God,
all have
yeah.
things that we're trying to get better at. We all have imperfections that we don't like to admit on social media. Like, the whole point is we put things out on social media. We're like, everything is great. Everything is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But like, social media, as we all know, is a complete highlight reel.
Yeah.
What we like to talk about in this part of the podcast is something that like you feel like you want to get better at, you want to improve, or something that you feel is like not quite going right in your life, because it's all about like being real and vulnerable.
I'll be really honest. I think that I definitely would like to, I've been having therapy since I was really young, since I first started transitioning, even before when I was like 8, because I was fucking just a, not troubled, but just kind of quite an unhappy child, which is not, don't want to go too deep, but that's true.
I mean, it's so important.
So yeah, I think I haven't been to therapy in about 2 years. I'd definitely like to go back to therapy. I think that would be really good for me. Definitely would like to have a little bit more of a routine with myself. I think I can be a little bit lazy sometimes. I think I can be very, I can procrastinate quite a lot, and I'd like to be a little bit more consistent. I've definitely gotten better than I was, but just about continue on doing that. Maybe like start doing a hobby as well. Mm-hmm. I'd maybe like, I used to like
what
draw.
Hobby would you do?
I used to do art a lot when I was younger. I used to love art. I used to paint. I used to draw all the time. And I used to like do play musical instruments as well.
What musical instruments?
Oh my God, you're going to die. I played the violin for 10 years. I played the violin for 10
You
years.
Can play the violin?
Well, I haven't picked up a violin in about 10 years. Well, no.
Do you think you could?
No, in about 7 years.
Do you think you could? If you're if we had a violin in the studio.
G-D-A-E, yeah. Could play something.
I played played the violin.
Did you?
My best friend Sinead, she was actually in the year below me. But we both did violin, and the teacher, Miss Hill, if you're listening, she was the worst person in the whole wide world. Like my God. I made me not
violin
want to do.
Are
they are horrible.
They are because they were around when the first violin was created. So they are very, they're old and they're a little bit terrifying.
They've been around since the
There's not a young, I've never had a young violin. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I wish I was like learned to play the piano. That's so cool, man.
Yeah, so nice, so
I'd
much
love
nicer.
To just, like, but I am, like the violin.
The violin, well, my best friend, she's now my maid of honor, but when we were in primary school and we knew each other, she thought I absolutely hated her because she used to be the person to come and say, it's your turn for violin. And it wasn't her that I hated, it was the fact that I had to go to violin and I hated violin. So I'd be like in a right old mood. So she thought I hated her for like the whole of primary school. And then we became best friends in secondary school. So violin actually kind of sort of brought us together, but then also, it wasn't.
It kind of,
it worked out in the end, but I couldn't tell you how to play a violin. You're probably way more
skilled.
Well,
I haven't picked up a violin since I was 12, but I think I would be better, but I guess when you learn it from such a young age. I started playing the violin when I was 4, so I come from a very musical family, so they were like, you need to play an instrument. I know, we're one of them. It's not about academia, it's like you need to play an instrument, or you need to have, like, I used to paint, I used to go to dance every week, and I used to play the violin, and I stopped doing all of that when I went to secondary school.
Have you got any other hidden talents that you can share us on the podcast?
Yeah, I just can't talk about it on the podcast.
No, you did actually. You did did a sneaky Scouse accent when you saw me earlier.
I am incredible at any accent.
Yeah, that was good.
Fucking hell, mate.
It's good.
Jürgen was that nice, mate.
George, is that good?
What do you think, George? Wait, hold on. I can do Hannah from. You just said to Lewin. Wait, hold on. You just said to Lewin that we went to Magaluf and did foot and nothing. Love Hannah. Geordie, like
a little bit Geordie.
I like Georgia.
Gave that a 9 as our resident Scouser. That's
my
quite,
Welsh
that's
is
quite
the best
good.
One.
Go and do your Welsh.
My Welsh is proper good.
That
my
was
Welsh
good.
Is proper spot on because my father's Welsh. Yeah,
you actually sound like Nessa from Gavin and Stacey.
All right, Ness.
I love that.
Oh, Dave. Oh. I'm not gonna lie.
Nessa's in the building.
I love her. I love Rhys Jones.
Right.
Oh,
so
give me a line to do and I'll say it.
What's the line, G? Right. So Chesa, I'm in a bar.
Okay.
And you've got to come up to me and flirt with me.
Okay.
And
I'm trying to think of
you got to do it in lots of different accents. So the first, what you're going to, well, hi.
All right. Did you hurt your head? Did you hurt your head? Oh, I can't do it now. Hold on. Did it hurt when you fell from heaven? The Welsh accent isn't, well, I'm doing like a really Southern Valley Welsh accent right now. Like, God, because my dad's from the Valley, see, so they proper speak strong like that.
That's really good. Like, my dad's French, so I just do like a really, he still speaks,
Let's
so he'll be like,
Gabby, pass me that piece of paper.
Oh, that's so good.
That's
oh,
my that's dad's a... accent.
Oh, I
so we're just copying our dad's accent now.
I yeah. know, right?
No, he speaks like he's lived in the UK longer than he's ever lived in France, but yes. he speaks English with the thickest
Does
French accent.
Does he also hate English people as well? Like,
because she's quite tolerant of us.
Oh, my dad. I mean, my dad's fine now, but like he was so. I think he was so embarrassed that he had to. I think he's less embarrassed that he has a trans daughter more than he has a daughter who's English. Do you know what I mean? He's one of the like. I think that's a kind of non-English thing if you're from the UK. Like if you're a Scot,
yeah.
If you're a Scots, an Irish or a Welsh person, they just automatically dislike the English.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fair enough because we
Does
have...
Does your dad listen to you on podcasts? My dad listens to this podcast. Hi, Dad.
Yeah, he probably will listen to it. My dad is a bit of a fan of mine. He like comments, he like replies love. To all my trolls and stuff, but he's under obviously a private name because he's a
Go
teacher.
On user 15675.
Literally
4321.
One of those. And he's like, he really goes after men who are like really nasty to me. And he goes, well, let's see what you look like then, son. Like really funny. And I'm like, oh, dad, he's love. Cute. Bless him.
Oh, that's so nice. So nice. Yeah. If you want to know what we're drinking here in the Talk 20 studio, then let me tell you, because you're going to want to try it. Riviera Iced Tea is the newest sponsor of the Talk 20s podcast. It's low calorie, natural, vegan, and gluten-free. I'm absolutely obsessed with iced tea. I've just been laughing here about how obsessed I am with iced tea with our producer. It's my favorite drink in the whole wide world, no exaggeration. And the peach iced tea from Riviera is genuinely the best I've ever tasted. So if you want to fill your fridge with something super refreshing, head to rivieraicedtea.com or check out their Instagram at rivieraicedtea. Well, Chezza, it has been absolutely amazing to have you on the Talk 20s podcast. I'm so glad you got to come up and record. I know you've come a long way. You've come from Brighton. It's been a long train journey
know,
up
girl.
Here.
I had a nice train journey though. Yeah. I slept.
Well, thank you so much for coming. Where can we find you on social media? Where can people find you?
You can find me on ChezzaBlondeXO on Instagram and TikTok. Give me a follow.
And we always ask the same question to all of our guests whenever they come on the Talk 20s podcast. And it's if you could look back at 20-year-old Chezza.
Yeah.
And give her just one piece of advice. What would you want to say?
I was thinking about this the other day and I was actually looking through my camera roll. That's how I kind of remember times and everything. Mm-hmm. Like what was my life like when I was 20? And I had such a good time when I was 20. I was looking back, I was like, oh my God, I was so carefree and I just didn't care, but I was also having fun and living my life. I feel like the only thing I think maybe don't be so naive. It's just kind of sad to say, but I think that the last 3 years have taught me quite a lot about people, especially about men. And I think just, not to be so naive and just not everyone's your best friend. Mm-hmm. And just be a little bit wary of certain people, you know. Don't, give your kindness away too much. People.
I think that's so true. And I can't remember who else, but someone else has said that on the podcast before as their thing. And I think we're all guilty of it. Like when you're younger, you expect the world
to be nice to everyone. And the world is a kind of a bit of a... Yeah. Fucking scary place.
It can be sometimes.
And I've definitely toughened up a little bit in the last 3 years. Yeah. So I would say, not everyone's going to be your best friend. And don't worry if people don't like you. Now I couldn't care less. But back then I was very aware. If someone didn't like me, I was so bothered by it.
Yeah.
Like now I couldn't care less if you don't like me. Yeah. Like, good.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Chezza.
Thank you
love
so much for having
Love this episode.
Me.
Love
so
you.
Fun.
You're amazing.
I love you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Amazing. Hey! Thank you.